Blog Talk Radio.
Every league, every team, every game, every season. 8 to 10, tell a friend. This is where the experts meet to speak on the pros. You want to join the conversation, got to pick up the phone. 646-200-3838. This is the verbal version of the replay. The recap, the game 7, the draft, preseason, the rematch. Players and coaches, the man keeps you posted. Whether you're rooting for the home or away. Dirt, turf, hardwood, grass, a click. We keep the conversation going and we cover it all. So when it goes down, you know the score. But when it comes to sports talk, this ain't no small talk. This is the big leagues, the ball is in your court. The best place for debate and point of view. After further review, you know what to do.
Peru does it the best. What's going on, party people? It's the man, February 26th. It's a Tuesday night vibe. Once again, it's on GQ Palace Sports. After further review, in your face and in your eye, because it's what we do. Man, listen, where was we at, man? So there's a lot of stuff that was going on, a lot of stuff from even last week when we was talking about. But before we get into a thing, I just wanted to shout out, you know, rest in peace, shout out to, you know, one of the great street ball players that, you know, I've seen, I'm not going to say ever seen, but one of the great ones. I mean, Ali Moe passed away, you know what I mean? And I just wanted to, you know, give a remembrance to him on our airwaves, you know what I mean? Because, you know, he brought a lot of people a lot of, you know, pleasure and things of that nature, watching him play, you know, play ball and do his thing, you know? And, you know, he's definitely appreciated, he's definitely going to be missed. Again, Tyrone, Ali Moe, a.k.a. Black Widow Evans, you know what I mean? And street baller, N1, all of that, Rucker, all that, extraordinaire. You know, may the brother rest in peace, man. And again, it's been a year, you know, a year ago tonight we was, you know, going through a thing with, you know, the situation went down in Florida with Trayvon Martin. So and they're doing the hoodie march for him down in Union Square in Manhattan, and hope everything's peace out there, you know what I mean, and everybody's marching and, you know, doing the thing in remembrance of Trayvon Martin. But here we go, man. GQ Power Sports is in the building. After further review, once again, it's on and popping. Where do we start? We start with the draft combine and Manti Te'o running this 4.82. You know what I mean? We already knew he was slow, you know what I mean? So we might get into that a little bit. I definitely want to touch on my Syracuse Orangemen. You know, the ship is definitely sinking fast. It used to be a thing where Syracuse, you know, we got down late in the game. You know, we would always, you know, turn the screws on, you know, on D and make it happen. But I watched them last night against Marquette, and the way it was looking last night is like how they look in being a first round out in the tournament. So, you know, and we got a lot of, you know, tough games coming up, and we got the Big East tournament coming up. So we definitely got to turn it around. But the only, you know, the positive I see out of that is we getting these losses out the way, you know, and we can get hot again at the right time and maybe make a deep run, you know. And, you know, with the homie, you know, Sutherland, you know, coming back, got to stop taking all these crazy shots or whatever. But we'll get into that. I definitely want to touch on that Twitter beef. I don't know if you heard about it, between Richard Sherman of the Seattle Seahawks and Darrelle Revis of the New York Jets. They was going hard at each other on Twitter, man. It was kind of hectic. And that's kind of what we were speaking about last week, is like, you know, do, you know, teams have a right to kind of like censor or kind of shut down, you know, their employees, which that's what they basically are. They're working for the team, you know what I mean? Do they have a right to, you know, kind of like monitor what they say or, you know, keep everything at a certain level? But, yeah, it was going back and forth, kind of hard body, you know what I mean? But there's basically, you know, basic ribbon, you know what I mean? But it's just like millions of people, you know, bear witness to it, you know, and that's the difference between what used to go on and what's going on now. Definitely want to touch a little bit on my Yankees. My man Curtis Granderson's out till May, broke his arm, you know, got hit by a pitch at the first at-bat of spring training, and that's kind of, you know, crazy now. So now the Yankees trying, they should try to sign Johnny Damon, man, just for, you know, just to plug in that spot. Johnny Damon still has some gas in the tank, and we could use that dude. So, you know, he'll probably come, you know, he'll come cheap at this point because he need a job. So that's what's going down with that. So we here, man. We know the math, 646-200-3838. Press 1 to get in on the conversation. You know how it goes down on Tuesday night. We here, we in the building. We got Miss Lavina on the bell and on the applause button. My man Rich is holding down the whole situation. Shout out to GQ Palace, man. Everything is everything. I need to get my man Mike to call in, New York Giant Mike to call in, so we can talk about these Knicks, because it's a sinking ship over there, too. You know, once upon a time, everybody was, you know, talking about, yeah, the Knicks is going to the finals, and the Knicks is this and that. I said, why don't you wait till they get some games under their system, and now look at them. You know, last week, they were in second place, a couple of games behind Miami. Now, they're in third place, they're behind Miami and Indiana. You know what I mean? So, yo, I didn't hear the bell, Mr. Vina, you know. You got a cute... Yeah, all right, that's what it is. We got Mike on the line. Mike, welcome to the biggest show, my dude. What's going on?
Dude, what's good? You know I'm always listening. I'm always on.
Yeah, I just talked you up, my dude.
Oh, what?
I just talked you up. I knew we were going to talk about some Knicks and all of that good stuff, man. So what's going on with you, man? How was your week?
Same old team. It was good. I can't complain.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
But you see, Stoudemire, he came back looking kind of good, though.
Yeah, I understand. I see all that, but we ain't seeing it in the place where it counts the most in the standings. We going south, my dude.
I know. But you know what? I still gotta keep hope alive.
Man. Yeah. Most definitely. We Knicks hard body karate all day, but I'm just saying, man. You know, it speaks to the fans that were at the beginning of the season. You know, 7-0. That seems like, you know, 5 years ago. You know
exactly,
what I'm saying?
Exactly.
You know what I mean? No. I never, you know, you 7 games, nobody won the NBA title in October. You know what I mean? So you have to wait till they get some games under their system. You know what I mean? Whoever's hurt, come back and let the lineup play out. But it seems like you said, Stoudemire's coming back and doing, you know, showing some
good
things.
And Carmelo's cooperating with him, too. He hit him with a couple of those assists.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, as long as they get it together like they want to, I think it'll go good, you know, because they're working real good together right now.
Right.
I got to say, they're working real good together.
But I'm saying, though, my point of matter on that is that, you know, we was looking at a couple of weeks ago, or maybe even 3 weeks ago, we was looking at a team that might, you know, win 55 games. You know what I mean? Now, you know, I'm looking at it now. They played 33. They got 29 games left in the season. You know what I'm saying? They gotta win. They gotta go 17-12. You know what I mean?
I got hope in them. They're gonna do it.
I hope so, man. And Atlanta and Brooklyn is only 2 games behind them, so they gotta really, you know, step their game up, man. But they sliding backwards. You know, and Miami's running away with it.
That's the thing, Miami. You know, everybody. They cheering for LeBron right now.
And the thing about it is, once it gets closer to the playoffs, you know, those teams are going to be trying to avoid that eighth spot. Because, you know, it's the eighth spot, it's a one and done. Because the eighth spot plays Miami in the playoffs. And Miami's going to be first, you know that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So you want to avoid that spot.
But,
you know? But you and the Knicks, if the Knicks don't end up with home court advantage, I'll be very disappointed. Very disappointed, yo. And I don't want to hear no excuses from nobody.
I don't be disappointed. It ain't going to be able to be no excuses. Because right now, they was doing hella good without Stoudemire.
Right.
You understand? So it's like when Carmelo was leading, that's when they was doing their thing, if you think about it. When Stoudemire came back, that's when it started going a little behind. Because now they got to see what Stoudemire is doing and follow behind him instead of Carmelo.
Yeah, I mean, a couple of games ago when they played Indiana, they got blown out in Indiana. It was like Carmelo was reverting, he was backsliding, you know what I mean? He wasn't, you know, being a distributor and being, the dude that we used to see in the season, you know what I mean? He went back to the Carmelo from last year, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And everybody has their moments, man, but we can't be doing that now because, you know, people, you know, were starting to respect us a little bit. Now we're starting to slide back. You know, we got Golden State tomorrow. You know what I mean? And that has to be, we got to win that game. You got to win that game. Then we got Washington, the Wizards on Friday, and the Wizards tore us up the last time we played them. So it's like that they're taking a step back instead of, you know, being that strong team that you could that you know is going to be there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, see, and I believe that, yeah, I know exactly what you're saying, but I believe they should let Carmelo go back to taking that lead. You understand? Me personally, I feel they should let Carmelo go back to taking that lead instead of leaving Stoudemire play that, you know, that forward-type position.
Why Stoudemire can't come off the bench?
Huh?
Why Stoudemire can't come off the bench?
Stoudemire, you know what? I'm a hard-body karate Nick fan. I'm with the Knicks the whole nine, but I guarantee you within the next, I'm going to say 5 games, Stoudemire is going to be hurt. I'm going to keep it real.
That's usually how we go.
He's going to be hurt. Watch what I tell you. This is going to go back to Carmelo, and that's when it's going to start picking back up again.
The truth comes out when they all get on the court together. You know what I'm saying? That's when the truth comes out. It's like, you know, they're really, you know, are they comfortable together playing? You know, is the spacing correct? You know, are they in their proper spots where they're supposed to be when it's time to receive the ball and even on defense? You know what I mean? So it becomes different when you have somebody that's been out for so long. Then you try to fit him back in, you know, right back into the rotation or whatever. You know what I mean? Irregardless of how the rotation was rocking before, you know?
Exactly. That's my point. They want to put him exactly back where he was at when he left.
Right.
You can't do that. You got to give this man time. Let Carmelo take control. You see how it was going when he was taking control? He was doing and everything. Keep it with Carmelo. Let Stoudemire stay back for a while. Get him back into it. Let him feel that rhythm again. You understand what I mean? They're putting him back up there in that position too fast right now. And he's trying to go. And to me, he was doing his thing, but the majority, every time he got that ball, he shot. You know? So to me, he was doing his thing. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, I hear you. But I just feel like, you know, we're coming off a win against the Sixers or whatever. You know what I mean? But I just feel like, you know, we got to really, really step it up and step the gas up, man. Because this is at least a 50-win team, at least.
Mm-hmm.
At least, and everything else after that is gravy. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But you know they backslided right now. Look at Miami. Miami got 40 wins already. Knicks only got 33. You know, and they're six and a half. They were a game and a half back. Now they're six and a half back. They're behind Indiana. So they're in third place now. And Atlanta's 2 games behind them and Brooklyn. So it's like a thing where, you know, the Knicks are closer to being in the fourth or the fifth seed than the first seed. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. But see, that's what I'm saying. That's where it boils down to. Stoudemire got the experience. To me, he got the experience. He got he just don't got that drive that he had to put the Knicks back to where they was when Carmelo was born. And you got, like you said, with the Heat, Miami. LeBron is going crazy. LeBron is like Jordan from Chicago right now.
Right.
So the Heat is off the meat rack right now. As far as the Lakers, there's nothing to be said about them right now. Because I don't think they're going to
win. I don't think the Lakers are going to win 40 games.
Yeah.
I don't know. The Lakers are really far. Hold on, Mike. We got Kia on the line. Kia, what's good? Welcome to the Bigger Show. What's happening?
Oh, Lord. Hello. Good evening.
Oh, Lord. Hey, Kia.
What's up? How you be?
Hey, Mike. Hello.
Don't sound so excited.
What's up, lady? What's on your mind?
Nothing. Great game Saturdays, you know. A little disappointed in the work last night, but it is what it is, hey.
Right.
Is 50 points in the paint, right?
Yeah. I mean, are you talking about the Lakers?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, it is what it is.
It is what it is. I mean, they
just make it harder for them at the end because I still kind of believe in them. You know what I mean? They might have a run in them left, but they're running out of time. These games you got to win.
We'll see. Games you got to win. Here's the point. Games you got to win. And, well, like I said, he's going to need help with some foes.
The Knicks are going through the same thing right now. They was, you know, everybody was lovely when they were 7-0, and they was, you know, the kings of the city.
All I
got
to say is to these Knicks fans that were saying all that stuff, yeah, but it was a championship. That's all I got to say.
Knicks ain't going to win no championship. They ain't going to have a home court advantage.
All I got to say about these Knicks fans that I know, already has it on the platform. I want to see the Knicks win this championship. That's all I want to see.
The Knicks ain't going to have home court
because
in the playoffs.
If they don't win or whatever, I'm definitely calling out a lot of people.
Why are you calling them out? I mean, you know, they're like you with the Steelers.
Don't
you can't be mad at them for supporting their team.
Don't be comparing the Steelers to the Knicks.
It's true.
Don't compare them.
It always goes back to that same conversation. You have to look at it from either, not have to, just look at it from either a hard body fan like you are with the Steelers. Nobody tell you nothing about the Steelers.
I am definitely biased. So you have to give them that. I don't. You know what? That's what I got to work on. I don't give people that benefit of the doubt.
Right.
I mean,
you got to give them that, yo.
I didn't get less. I really can.
It is what it is. But you have to let people live. You know what I'm saying?
I'm gonna work on that because it is. I can have a conversation with somebody.
Uh-huh.
Like I said, just having a conversation with this person. He's a Laker fan. Whatever. When I found out he was a Raven fan, I had no more conversation with him.
Right.
He's like,
I just turned you off.
Let me tell you something. Ravens Trump Lakers right now. You're a Ravens fan. I have no respect for you. You can never have no conversation with me no more.
But they probably don't even care. They got a ring. They don't care.
I can care less.
They don't care what you're talking about.
I can care less what anybody thinks what I say.
Right.
I can care less. I'm not that person. I don't care what you think the way I
I can care less what anybody says. We established that, but all I'm saying is that, you know, when you have to have a, you're talking to a person that has a realistic point of view about situations and not have
sometimes
the, you know, pie in the sky, like, go ahead.
Unless I'm talking to you or somebody, whatever, some people don't have a realistic view
I learned that. You got to let people, you know, be who they are, you know what I'm saying? And like we were talking about last week, there's certain levels to it, right? Where it's like me and you having a conversation would be different from, you know, you and somebody who don't really know as much as, you know, we do about it. You have to, you know, kind of not dumb down your conversation, but got to conversate on their level to keep the conversation flowing. Because once you go overboard, it's a wrap.
I agree with you 100%. I got to work on that. But those people I don't have conversation with. I don't even interest in.
Those are the people you need to have conversation with, because if they don't know a lot about the sport, you telling them about it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to grow in that part. I'm definitely going to. I just don't. I'm like to the point. I don't have time.
I hear you.
And I'm bad. I am going to work on that.
I had to learn that myself. That, you know, it's not all about everybody. Everybody might not know as much as, you know, we do per se about certain particular things, and we might not know as much as them about certain subjects that they adamant about, that they love, that's close to them. You know what I'm saying? So you have to give them that same respect. So it all balances out.
What's up with your Syracuse?
The ship be sinking, yo.
Every game on Saturday was probably fun. I said it earlier
when we first came on. I was like, yo, it used to be a day where, you know, Syracuse would get in a close game. They would even be maybe down by 6 or 7. But, you know, you sit back and be like, they're going to come back. They're going to clamp down and, you know, make some things happen. But now it's like once they, you know, get down, it's like they don't know how to come back and win. They don't know how to win, you know. And I never really seen Syracuse rock out like this, man. I'm like, no, they fell off the map.
I told them, they're all Hoyle fans. They just really zoned the Syracuse out that game. They gave it to them. It was unbelievable. Georgia had Southern back. And they still trying to do without winning fans. So
yep.
I was like,
Southern was taking these crazy 18, 19 footers. No, you can't make them. You know what I mean?
Everything,
and Trish was trying. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it is what it is. But, you know, to lose at home like that, the last game, you know what I mean? Big East joint, you know what I mean? I was looking for, you know what I mean? But it is what it is.
Marquette, right?
We lost last night to Marquette, yeah.
Yeah, and then
Zoom
never just beat Marquette, so I think Georgetown sits at the top of the helm right now.
Yeah, Georgetown. And they're getting hot at the right time too.
Yeah,
that Big East tournament is gonna be crazy because people forgot about Louisville.
That's what I'm
saying.
I mean? And Louisville, and they had a great game. They had a great, they had a great game, a great game.
Mm-hmm.
He had a great game. Mm-hmm. Even though Villanova did beat Louisville and Syracuse, but Villanova may not get a seat.
I don't know, man. Villanova. I'm looking at Villanova.
That's
and
the only two teams that they beat.
It's gonna be what you do in that tournament. It's gonna be in what you do in the tournament. Of course, you know, you're standing and whatever, what you did in the regular season, how many quality wins you got and all that.
Yeah.
But really, for the team that's
right
on
now,
the bubble,
if you were to get a seat now, Louisville, Villanova wouldn't get a seat right now. If you were to get a seat, like, who all's going to get a seat? You don't want to get a seat now.
Hold on, look at that. Yeah, I mean, yeah, you can look at it basically, but like I said, again, it's going to be dependent on what you do in the tournament. If you do a good showing in the tournament, you win a couple of games in the tournament, you know what I mean? And you might sneak in. Because right now, you got to look at these teams right now in the Big East, right? You got Georgetown, Marquette, Louisville, Syracuse, Notre Dame. Then do you cut it off? Because that's five. And the Big East usually send like seven or eight teams. But then you put Connecticut, Pittsburgh, Villanova. So that's what's going to shake up.
Connecticut can't go.
Yeah, well, they're 9-5, 19-7 overall.
No, I think are they suspended? They can't do a tournament.
I think they are. I don't think they can go.
They can't do a tournament. They can't go. They can't
right.
go. They suspended.
Tournament
they can't do a
ineligible.
Tournament.
Right.
They banned.
Yeah.
But they got. I think this year.
Well,
they
got
to
worry
are.
About
I
them.
They
are they?
Yeah.
Are they playing even? Are they even playing in the Big East tournament?
I don't think. I don't know. They're. They got. They're in trouble. They. You know. They're
that's a good
whatever.
Question.
I think they can't play in nothing.
Right.
They can't play. I think they can't play.
Wow. Okay.
So it's going to be interesting because it's
going to
be about because, you know, the seat's going to be coming out and it's going to be very interesting. March 17th is going to be everybody going to get that paper and start going in their brackets.
Indiana is going through it right now with Minnesota. They're up 46-42 second half.
Yeah.
But, that Big East tournament is going to be real crazy. It's going to be
it's
real crazy.
Be
did you see your boy Manti Te'o run the 4.8?
Yeah.
The 40? I told you that he was slow. We already knew
that's
he was slow.
That is not even, I don't know. I think it's too much stress on him because he got so much stuff forming in his head. And it ain't the time to be stressing over nothing because everybody's looking at you. Now, you hear Steven Jackson may not sound pull back with the arm.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Wow. That's going to be interesting to see Steven Jackson back there with the Rams. Be interesting.
I see, and I see your boy is restructuring his contract.
Yeah, they're both going to restructure.
Ben 7.
Roethlisberger, yeah, they're going to restructure that couple
seven.
Days.
Don't you have to start looking for a backup?
Backup what?
Backup quarterback. Ain't Ben getting on the years?
Well, we're going to get a quality backup quarterback.
No, I'm not saying. I'm just saying it to be funny. I wasn't. You know, I think Ben still got, you know, gas in the tank.
Ben still got, I'm about to say, please, he done went to Super Bowl within his career three times. So, I'm not, no, don't let me in. Oh. Mm.
Let's get back on your Lakers.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about my Lakers.
Mike said, oh, and you got problems too, man. You better hope Victor Cruz, the Giants come to their senses, man, and agree on a contract. He might be doing the South or somewhere in Green Bay somewhere.
Oh, please. They redoing it, but they're doing a stupid contract now.
Did they do OC over? Or they did, who did they
yeah,
do?
They didn't
this,
do his.
This
they didn't
over.
Do OC yet. They didn't do OC yet.
They did somebody's
Mathusis.
Over just now.
They did Mathusis now.
Who?
They're doing his now. What's that? M.A., he got that funny day? Mathusis?
Matthias? Kiwanuka?
Matthias, yeah. They're
okay,
doing his.
Okay, Kiwanuka, okay. All right.
They're doing
that's
his. But they're not doing, they didn't do OC. They didn't talk about OC yet or what's the thing yet, Tuck. None of that. So we don't know if they're going to be there. That's
so
going to be
sad.
An interesting game.
So sad.
Everybody got to come underneath that cap. They got to come. They got to come underneath that cap. So.
You see, your boy went back to the Thunder.
Who's
Derek
that?
Derek Fisher.
Oh, whatever.
I don't know.
Derek Fisher's still playing?
Yep, he's playing with the Thunder now. He got back on the Thunder.
Whatever. I'm not even starting it. I'm ready for whether
I haven't heard anybody say that about down south. You ain't starting it?
I'm not betting that. I'm not.
I ain't heard nobody say that in a long time, yo. Yo, poor that. I ain't heard nobody say stunting in a long time, yo. I ain't stunting that. All right, yo, we in the building, man. 646-200-3838, man. GQ Pounds after further reviews in the building.
I'm just looking for a little bit of baseball, a little bit of March Madness, and then whatever. I heard Johnny Damon trying to come back to the Yankees.
Yeah, Johnny Damon's like, please, I want to come home. I want to come home
Floriana,
and play.
Floriana, I put a paper today. Floriana said he wouldn't mind coming back to the Bronx.
Alfonso Soriano?
Yep, that's today's paper.
Today's
sports stuff.
I saw Sonny. I was like 39 years old.
Well, no, he's not 39.
Why would you say that? I thought Sonny was old.
Well, he's not 39. I don't think he's 39. I don't think he's 39.
He's close to it. I thought Sonny was old, yo. But we could use him though. He just we stick him out in left field, like he was doing with the Cubs. But yeah, I don't know. You see Curtis Granderson broke his arm?
Yeah. He's, man.
That's why we gotta get somebody, man.
They said May he'll be back, so.
Yup. And I don't know what's going on. I gotta do my baseball picks are coming in like 2 weeks. I don't know, man. I don't think the Yankees will do too well this year.
I'm just keeping it funky. Get the pitching together and the rotation is fine, but gotta get the hitting.
I don't trust
it.
None of them dudes. I'm going to keep it funky. I'm going to keep it all the way 100. I'm a Yankee fan, and I don't trust none of them dudes. Because we go through this every single season. And last year should have been a sign of things to come. When the Baltimore Orioles got better and the Red Sox was garbage after they got all of those people and they turned the garbage real quick, that should have been a signal right there to the Yankees. Okay, our time is coming. We've been going on borrowed time for mad long. Now Jeter's 38. You know what I mean? A-Rod's not going to be there. We got Euculus at third. Come on, man. Robinson Cano, we need to sign him. Teixeira is the one that needs to step up. Ichiro is 38. Brett Gardner's just coming back. Granderson is gone now. We got Francisco Cervelli behind the plate.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And the pitching staff is what? CeCe? What's my man, Kuroda? And it was Nova going to come back? Phillip Hughes, his back is hurting. So, I can't call it this year. I don't feel confident at all.
Well, you see what the spring training says at the spring camp.
And everybody else got better, yo. Toronto, I'm shook of Toronto. Toronto went and got busy. They went and got everybody.
That don't mean anything until you get on that field and play.
Toronto's gonna make some noise. Baltimore is gonna pick up from where they left off last year.
They made noise the last couple of years, so they ain't making them. And Tampa Bay supposed to make some noise.
Tampa Bay made their noise already. Now they clean the house. Tampa Bay made their noise already. Now they getting rid of everybody.
And ain't nobody starting.
Cause ain't nobody want to play down there. Nobody wants to play down there. Stadium is I don't know, eyesore. Nobody wants to play down there. Everybody's getting out of Tampa. They don't want to play in Tampa. But batting down the hatches. We got our guests on the line. You know him as one of the members of Brand Nubian. My man Sadat X is on the line. Paul, my man, what up, Johnny? What's good, man? Welcome to the bigger show.
No doubt. I'm here. No question.
What's good, man?
Everything's good, man. I'm in here looking at college basketball right now, looking at Indiana.
Oh, you're watching Indiana and Minnesota, right? That's a good one. That's a good one going on right now. But I got you on the line, my dude, and I know that you being the Knicks fan that you are, because I don't want to jump on you right now with the Jets. We're going to get into that in a minute. But
all right.
The Knicks, where you at with the Knicks right now? We were just having a little conversation that, you know, when it was 7-0 and everything was lovely, you know what I mean? Everybody's talking about a parade and all that. Now, you know, we done got a little sample size under our belt, you know what I mean? We're 33-20. We used to be a game behind Miami. Now we're 6.5 behind them, and we're behind Indiana now. So do you see anything as being, you know, are we finished yet with this season, or do we still have some moves to make, or we still got some steam in us so we can be ready to make a run when the weather change?
Well, I think we're doing pretty good. I think we might be a year away from a consistent run. I just think that we need a consistent two guard right about this time. I mean, I love Shump, and I love what he brings, man, but it seems like, man, right now to me, he appears a little heavier, and he's not getting the shot like we need. I think we need a two guard.
Okay. All right. So were you on the bandwagon with getting, you know, these guys like Rasheed Wallace and Jason Kidd and all of that? So, I mean, to me, I wasn't really feeling that because it seemed like we got older all of a sudden.
Yeah. Like, we took a drastic change, and with Jason, I mean, it's not the old Jason, and granted, he brings wisdom to the team. He's a locker room presence, but I don't think he can stick nobody at this point.
Right.
You understand
right.
what I'm saying? And I
yes,
think
sir.
That maybe his shot is off, and I think that maybe after this year, man, he might be expendable for us.
Okay. All right. So at 33-20 right now, where do you you know, basically see us ending up at? Do you see us winning? Because maybe 2 weeks ago, man, I was looking at us being a 55-win team.
Well, I think we can get to about the 45. If we can get to about 45 game rate, and I think we can do that. I still think that the East is Miami's to lose. And I think basically that the chip might be Miami's to lose. Everybody is on these other teams' bandwagon. The chip still got to go through Miami, man.
Right.
And I think that, you know, at this year, Bron, I think he's going to start really stepping it up now because the monkey is off his back. He already got a chip now. So now I think he's getting ready to get into that late season mode. And I think Miami's a problem.
Right. That's right. I feel like, you know, kind of, you know, nobody's really there to really, you know, question their throne and really to battle them because, you know, Indiana think they can, but they ain't ready. The Knicks
ain't
ready.
So.
Everybody else is a step below them, you know what I mean? And
exactly.
the only team that really, really everybody was kind of like talking about Miami would be the Celtics, and we already know the situation with them.
Radio.
You know, Rajon is out for the, he's done for the year, and it's like they lost to the sauce right now.
If you desire to speak
I don't think Boston is going to be able to do it without Rondo. I know they won like 7 or 8 games in a row, but in the long run, they need him.
Right. And so we're gonna flip it over. So you think that the Knicks are going to, like you said, 45?
I think so. I think between 45 and 50. I mean, I think we still in good shape. We're better than we were last year, you know.
Right. Definitely. No doubt.
I think maybe we did kind of stockpile on old dudes a little too much, man. You know, I don't know, you know, the reasoning behind that. I guess for, you know, they was trying to make our stockpile like we was maybe ready to make a run right now, which I don't think we are ready, you know.
Right. And I think that, you know, people got caught up in the 7-0 hype, man, because, you know, I heard a lot of stuff talking from a lot of different people, man, that you wouldn't even think to talk basketball, you know what I mean? Or the Knicks are doing this, or the Knicks. I said, wait till they get a sample size up under them. Nobody ever won a championship in November, you know what I mean?
Exactly, man. And it's funny, man, because, see, I hate dudes like that, man, because, you know, they get hyped on the bandwagon, man.
Man.
And, you know, real basketball dudes know that it's a long season.
Right.
And you know how it's going to basically play out. And, you know, I'll be happy with us getting a nice seed in the playoffs this year and seeing what we can do, maybe trying to add some pieces. We're going to need, at some point, I feel, another backup point guard also. You know, Kid is good, Frigioni is good, but, you know, I think we're gonna need somebody that's a little more aggressive to help Felton out when he comes out.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I think we need to start looking at some young talent. A lot of dudes was talking about trying to go get Bledsoe from the Clippers, and I don't see Bledsoe coming to the Knicks for that, you know, because I think the Knicks are gonna still start Felton, and I feel that Bledsoe in a year or two, he's a starter somewhere.
Okay.
He's not gonna want to come to the Knicks and play behind Felton. If the Clippers don't do something this year, I think if Bledsoe's going to be like, yo, I need to go somewhere where I can
Yeah, I got to be where I can get some burn. Right.
Exactly.
No doubt. Yo, we got here GQ Power Sports after further review. I got my man Sadat X, Wild Cowboy number one in the building with the mayor, talking it up, chopping it up. So let's go to the West, man. So what it look like to you out in the West? San Antonio's still in the building, man.
Yeah, San Antonio's in the building. I think San Antonio's in the building. It's going to remain San Antonio. They got a nice mix. It's all going to boil down to Tim. And, you know, Tim, at this point, he can afford to kind of coast, but at the end of the year, Tim is a problem in the West. And I think San Antonio is definitely a problem. You know, everybody thinks that Oklahoma going to run through the West and this and that. I don't think so. They're going to have a problem when they go up against San Antonio.
Yeah, because I think that, you know, those guys, you know, they really came out of nowhere, if you ask me, because nobody, people kind of slept on San Antonio. It was supposed to be all about the Clippers, the Thunder, even the Lakers, because they, you know, got their, you know, big man that ain't doing nothing. I call him Slight Howard, you know what I mean?
And they're,
like, on the outside looking in right now, and it's all about the Thunder and the Clippers. And what happened to Memphis? They got rid of Rudy Gay, and I think that they shouldn't have done that. But they won seven in a row.
I don't understand that move. That's going to hurt Memphis in the long run. I just don't see you giving up the franchise player like that. Like, I think that's going to hurt Memphis.
Then you got your other teams like your Denvers and the Warriors and Utah and even the Houston Rockets hanging on by a thread with the AFC. But again, man, San Antonio is right there in the mix. They're actually three games up. They got the number one seed in the West, so they're doing their numbers right now. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. And Denver's a kind of sneaky team too, because they got a nice team and a nice mix, and they play a lot of nice team ball. Denver can be a little problem also. They might slip in, but I think out of the West is going to be San Antonio.
Okay. All right. That's what it is. So you're looking at a San Antonio Miami final.
Definitely. And I think as the year goes on, as we see it now, Bron and them is just going to get stronger, man. And like I said, the chip is still going through Miami. Bron got a chip on his back now. So now it ain't all that crazy pressure. So now they're going to start seeing him apply pressure to people, boy.
Right. Let me ask you a question. Something that's been coming up in the last 3 days, really was a discussion that we was having like maybe about 6 months ago in regards to LeBron maybe opting out of Miami at some point and going back to Cleveland.
I could see that maybe after another championship or two. Maybe I see that coming maybe towards the tail end, maybe about another 2 or 3 years. I don't see him going right now, but I can't see him going back to Ohio again. Just being that he's from Ohio, and I think he feels that would be a challenge for him to prove he can come back and do it out there.
And that's not, you know, they think that would be a bridge that's burnt by the It was going off. It's like, yo, no way that this dude's coming back. But, I mean, you know, time heals all wounds and all that. So, like you said, you know, and that's home. That's always going to be home.
Yeah,
so,
definitely.
You know, it's going to be a chance for him to do that. So, have you been to the Barclays Center yet, my dude?
Yeah, I've been to the Barclays Center, man. It's an incredible place, definitely.
Okay, all right. So are the Nets, you know, in your opinion, are they holding down what they're supposed to be holding down? Are they representing like we thought they were for this year, or are they kind of like taking a step back?
I think they're doing good. Once PJ came in, you know, like for some reason, I think that Avery lost the respect of the players, man. And once you lose the respect of the players, I've coached basketball, I've played before. Once you lose that respect, man, it's gonna go downhill. Something about PJ, I think that he's got their respect a little more. They're playing a little bit more catered to their personnel. And Jersey, they're good. It's something they're missing. I'm trying to put my finger on it, but it's something they're missing. I mean, Duran is a little off this year. Maybe they're saying his ankles are hurting or this and that. But I think they're a little off this year. But I think they will make a playoff there.
Okay. All right, so they're holding down the fifth seed right now.
We're going
to switch it up on you a little bit, my dude, because I really wanted to get your opinion on this. I don't know if you was privy to the situation that was going on earlier last week with Richard Sherman of the Seahawks and your man Darrell Revis.
Yeah, I see they was going back and forth. With Sherman, he's a young boy and he had a good year. But you got to look at the body of work of Darrell Revis. First of all, nobody really throws the ball his way. So his stats, numbers-wise, is not going to be that comparative. But you got to consider nobody throws the ball that way.
But let me play devil's advocate for 1 second, my dude. If nobody throws the ball his way, because he ain't in the game.
He's been hurt. He was hurt. Yeah, he's not in the game. But when he's out there, nobody's throwing that way.
That's true. He sent it down. But I mean, you know, I just think that, you know,
Woody is going to go through the motions. He really don't want to pay that dude. He really don't want to
give
him.
They don't want to pay him. And I see him probably, you know, from what they was talking about at the combine, he ain't want to get with his agent and this and that.
Right, ready to
lose him.
And as a Jets fan, I know you go hard for your the green and white and all that. What do you think that the Jets need, man? Because I mean, you want to see the Jets do good, and they take you there, and all of a sudden it's something happens. I don't know. Is it?
Well, I'm thinking. I mean, I love LeSean in the backfield, but I think that we might have to look elsewhere. I'm seeing that Steven Jackson is out there, but you know, Steven is 30, and in football, you know, once you get 30, that becomes a little old. But I think we need some backfield help. I definitely, and I think we need something to put a fire under Sanchez, because to me, at the end of the year, it looks like he quit on us.
And you know what, though? I was saying in regards to Mark Sanchez, man, he had no competition, my dude. He knew going in that he was the quarterback. Good, bad, or ugly, he knew he was going to be the quarterback because he had nobody that was pushing him. And like you said, they light some fire under his ass to say, okay, I'm going to challenge you for your spot. And
exactly.
Going with whatever he was going with, you know what I'm saying? So, again, I think, again, if you had a quarterback or somebody back there that somebody was scared of, I think it would be the whole attitude and the whole vibe around the Jets would be different. Right now, it's just like, okay, that's a W. We're playing the Jets.
Yeah,
because
you know he's the quarterback. I think if it was a way that we could structure our money and maybe get somebody like an Alex Smith or somebody to put a little fire under him, because it's just easy for him right now, because some of the things he did last year, man, was to me, man, like I'm a competitive person, man, and I just didn't see the fire, man. And I can, like with the situation with Tebow, we know that Tebow's not the greatest quarterback, but we know this and that. But they never put him in a position to do anything. Every time he got the ball with that run up the middle shit, and this and that, and I felt he didn't get a fair shake, man. I felt if we can get somebody to put a fire under Sanchez, maybe he'll do a little better, because he did get us. We went to the AFC
Championship game. As a Jet fan, I knew you were going to go there with it, and I'm going to come back at you with this. Okay, boom. You went to the AFC Championship game 2 years in a row. Correct. That's fine.
Correct.
Both of them games were on the road. Okay? So if you would have won maybe a game here or a game there, you would have been at home for at least one of them games, and maybe the outcome would have been different. Because the team wasn't bad. The team was not bad. You took San Diego to the term, my dude. You know what I mean? One on the road out there. So Sanchez is a viable quarterback, but like he don't have no competition. So he feels like he could throw an interception here. He could fumble off his butt, or he could do whatever. Rex ain't gonna do nothing but say go back in the game and get better.
Exactly.
You get an Alex Smith in the situation where you already know what the deal is. I think he would be perfect for the Jets.
I think so, too, because this year, realistically, this is a pivotal year for the Jets. Mm-hmm. We either going to take a step up and redeem this year. We don't have to let this year be a transgression. Or we're going to put the organization back maybe 5 to 10 years. Mm-hmm. We're going to have to totally cut everything and rebuild.
Right. So, I mean, it's like a thing because I don't know if Woody and them not trying to really, you know, spend all that dough. They spent a lot of dough. But what and they don't got no results for it. They went to 2 AFC championships games, but that was like 5 years ago.
Basically, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And the people that you got right now, you know, you had high hopes and high expectations, and you put them in that position. You know what I mean? Because I think that they put the cart before the horse with Mark Sanchez. They had him all in these billboards. They had him all in commercials. And he was supposed to be the savior of the Jets. And da 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 da. You know what I mean?
I think that weighed into him, man. Like, sometimes, subconsciously, stuff like that gets in your head. People keep pumping you as the man. You ain't really got nobody pushing behind you. You get a little complacent with it, man.
Right.
And I think that's this year we got complacent.
Checking on the game. Minnesota's up 58-56, man. 4:46 left to go. We chopping it up right here with my man Sadat X, Brand Nubian. What's going on with you on musically, man, my dude? What you up to? I know you got that album as a banger. Talk about that.
Oh yeah, well musically, I got an album out right now called Love Hella Right, and that's out. That's available on iTunes and Amazon. So I got another album out too, which is in conjunction with a wine show that I do called Wine Connoisseurs. You know, it's a little something that we played off. I got an album called The Grapes. The Grapes of Wrath on that, you know, Planet of the Grapes. So, you know, I'm working. We're still doing brand new being shows.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting ready to go to Australia and Japan for a minute. And, you know, we just still out here. We're just trying to be viable, trying to remain relevant out here.
You know, talk about the true wine connoisseurs for a minute, man. Put people on, because I'm telling you, this is like the funniest. Yo, I watched this. Oh, my goodness. It's yo, I love it, man. I love it, and people need to be up on it, for real.
Well, basically, what happened with True Wine Connoisseurs is, you know, I was in the studio with Will Tell, and a lot of times, man, we were drinking Hennessy, man. And if you've ever drinking Hennessy, you know, too much Hennessy will get you out of sorts sometimes.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? So we was like, instead of, you know, let's get in the studio and let's start completing things and finishing things. And one day we ran out, and nobody felt like going to the store. Will Tell had a bottle of wine. We drank the wine. As natural drink, you know, he filmed us drinking it and he went on YouTube. Long, a couple of people back, that somebody sent us a bottle of wine and was like, well, I have a winery. I'd like you guys to do that. And we basically took it from there, man. What you got is wine connoisseurs, I think 1 year, 2 years, and I was like, third to do with the Mommy A. You know, I'm claiming to do all the nuances of wine. I just know what tastes good to me, you know what I'm saying? And I know that.
That's what it is, my dude. Your phone is breaking up a little bit on me.
Okay, my bad. I'm good?
You're good now. You're good money right now, my dude. Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yeah, so, yeah, that the True Wine Connoisseurs is like that. You know, I watched the episode with Jean Grey. I watched the episode with when you was at the winery. And I watched it when you had Evil D. They were sitting around when you were at the restaurant. Oh, man. It's funny, and it's it's educational too, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And again, the wines that they have on the show, they're not expensive at all, you know. And it goes down.
And the thing is, you know, it started as a joke, but now I'm really starting to learn about wine. Like it's
right.
Different people that's emailing me and hit me, wine dudes, and they telling me certain facts and certain things to notice, and that's with the nuances of wine. And you know, I'm learning and I'm having a good time.
No doubt, that's what it is, man. So yeah, so when can we expect like new episodes of that, or have you shot any new episodes?
Well, we shot a new episode last week. You know, what I'm saying, we did we reviewed the wine from Portugal, so we shot that, and we're gonna do some more soon.
That's what it is. That's what it is, man. So yeah, Indiana's down 5, 3:36 to go. Kia, what's going on? You still on the line? What, you got anything you want to add to the conversation?
Hello?
Guess not.
Yeah.
So we here, man. So yeah, the wine connoisseur thing is popping.
No, let me tell y'all one thing too. I want y'all not to interrupt, but I want y'all to be on the lookout for my godson. That's Alamo's son. His name is Mustafa Jones. He goes to Cardinal Hayes High School in the Bronx. You know, Cardinal Hayes, they in that competitive CHSA, the Catholic League in New York. And you know,
no
he's
doubt.
Doing good. He got a couple of offers so far. You know, he's looking at West Virginia and a couple of other schools. Be on the lookout for Mustafa Jones.
That's what it is. Ali Mo, that's Ali Mo's dude. All right. That's what it is. Shout out to all of them and all of that. So yeah, man, you got anything you want to say in regards to the legend that we just that passed away, man? Ali Mo,
The Black Widow, man.
Yes, sir.
Let me tell you something. You know, first of all, I want to tell dudes, man, like, you know, like a lot of times, man, as we get older, man, sometimes we neglect our health. I don't know Ali Mo's situation, but I'm saying in general, as we grow older, man, let's take care of our health, man, so we can always be around. And like the Ali Mo's death hurt me, man, because I seen him come up, man, from a little
right.
dude to come up to do what he did for N1, to go out to Cal State and do his Bakersfield and play at a school. Because see, a lot of people don't know Ali Mo. He did all that trick stuff, but he could play in a system also.
Right.
You know what I'm
okay.
saying? I've seen him play in a system, in a structured system. And,
right.
you know, it's with a couple of breaks here and there, who knows what he could have been, man. But
right.
he was what he was, and he became a legend on the and one and doing what he did. And it's just a great loss, man. And you know, it's part of my heart is gone with that.
Wow, man. So that's crazy. But again, like you said, we have to, you know, take care of our, you know, take care of our situations and make sure that we can, you know, be around. Yeah, go ahead, Mike.
He was talking before, and I couldn't hear nothing he was saying because his phone was like.
I guess you want to reiterate what you was talking about in regards to Love Hella Right. You know what I mean? Talk a little bit more about the Two Wine Connoisseurs, and I think you was breaking up when you was on the phone there.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Well, my phone, man, fell in the toilet yesterday, man. So it's been on the brink, man. So I'm trying to get it right, maybe get all this water out. But like I said, I got a new album out called Love Hella Right. You know what I'm saying? I got a lot of good people on it, man. You know, a lot of people helped me out. I got Showbiz and AG, Nori. I got, you know, Smith & Wesson, Marco Polo gave me some beats, Master Ace. I got Pharrell Monts on it. So, you know, it's a good album. Pick it up. It's on iTunes and Amazon. And, you know, just basically a reflection of what I've been doing and what I'm going to keep doing.
That's what it is.
Can I ask a question? Go ahead, Mike. Now, you got the new material out compared to what you did with Brand Nubian. What's going to make this different from what you was doing back then with Brand Nubian?
Well, actually, you know, I feel it's just a natural progression, you know what I'm saying? What I was doing with Brand Nubian was 20 years ago, and what I'm still doing with them, because we still do shows, 3 or 4 shows a month, but I think it just shows a maturation of myself, you know what I'm saying? Being that I'm got older, you know, I'm still rhyming, and a lot of times people feel like, oh, you older, when you gonna stop rapping? Why should I have to stop rapping? It's not like a light switch where you turn on and off, you know? I came up with this, and if you know rap music, you know rap music is always, it's like different genres of music. You got classical compositions from Mozart and Chopin that's 200-300 years old. Rap is still defining itself, and I'm still in that mission. That's how I'm going.
That's what it is. Now, salute that. That's what it is.
Can I ask
you? I have a question. My question. I'm sorry, I'm talking to somebody.
I'm breaking me off.
I have a question. Mine is pertaining to that comment that I heard about the Jets, and I just want to hear about Steven Jackson in the backfield or something of that Jets backfield.
What's that? Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, she said something about a comment that was made about Steven Jackson in regards to the Jets.
Yeah, Steven Jackson. Yeah, I just saw ESPN with Steven.
No, he's not coming to the Jets. I just heard you said that. I heard something about that. He's not coming to the Jets.
Yeah, I don't think he will come to the Jets either. I don't think at this point in his career he wants to be on another team like the Rams and try to start over. I think at this point he's 30 years old. I think he still has another 2 or 3 years left in him. I think he wants to try to get to a contender right now.
Yeah, Indiana looked like they get really get knocked off, B.
How about they losing?
68-61. Minnesota's up. 2 minutes left.
That means they should change first place then today.
Yeah, that's ugly, too. And see, Minnesota's a tricky team because I told dudes, Minnesota got a lot of long dudes. When I say long dudes, 6'6", 6'7", athletic dudes that go to the rim.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I knew that was going to be kind of
and
a struggle.
And they coaches Tubby Smith, right?
Oh, Tubby Smith is a boss coach, man. He know his strategy. He know how to strategize.
What's
name up to number one spot then?
Gonzaga.
They're number two.
Gonzaga's number two. But they would. And if Gonzaga moves up, they're going to move up on default. Like, Gonzaga, if they move up to number one, but I don't feel they're number one team. I feel a team to watch out for that's peaking right now is Florida.
No way.
I tend to agree, but then I tend to disagree. In regards to a team that's peaking, and a team that's really trying to find their stride, is the team that beat my team the other day. Georgetown looked like, they looked like world beaters.
Definitely.
They beat up on Syracuse. They held Syracuse to under 50 points in the Carrier Dome.
If you look at Georgetown throughout the years, that's always been a strategy. Georgetown always play your tight game. You're going to be in the 50s. That's a continuation in the Thompsons from father to son.
They always play like that. Taking it back to 83.
They always play like that.
The Michael Graham and all that.
But yeah, yeah, man.
Another sleeper team. Let me tell you something. Mm-hmm. Another sleeper team. Mark my words. Memphis State.
No way. They
Memphis.
No, they won't. Mm-hmm. They won't be the same year that they played a couple of years, a couple 2 years ago. They won't be the same.
And see, that's why they're going to be playing, because people are singing just like that. Memphis is sneaky, believe me.
Yeah.
No, they won't be sneaky. They won't even get to the 16 this year.
You know what? But I wouldn't even, you know, I mean, everybody has a chance, you know, make their opinion and things of that nature. But how the season is gone, anybody could beat anybody.
Yeah, yeah.
I agree with that.
So you, the ranking, a number one. How many teams been number one this year?
Yeah, it's
not clear. You know what I'm saying? So when how much weight does that really hold? And once you get to the 64 team tournament, it's a wrap.
Yeah,
one
game, anybody can do it.
Yeah.
Memphis ain't beat no quality that many quality teams. This is gonna make the 16. No, not Memphis. Mm-mm.
I'm gonna say it to you like this. If Memphis is ranked 19th, they're one of the top 19 team in the country right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? They're gonna get a spot.
Yeah.
I don't think they're gonna get a spot.
They're gonna get a spot. And then once they get the spot, Kia, all bets are off.
Oh,
depending on where they rank,
depending on
what region that they in. You know what I mean? If they catch a region with like a Louisville or a Kansas or something like that, they might have
but
a little
Louisville
problem.
Louisville is playing stronger now.
Yeah, Louisville.
Well,
Louisville is much stronger now. It's like they're finding their rhythm. They're playing much stronger. So I don't think Memphis will be a 16 team this year.
Louisville is going to go. Everybody thinks it's Russ Smith, and Russ is the man for Louisville,
mm-hmm.
and Brooklyn resident Cortie Dang. How he plays is going to determine how they go. And Louisville can be sneaky. They got Blackshear, Peyton
Silver.
What's
the point guard? What's their guard
name?
They
got a nice team.
They don't have. What's the point guard? His name is escaping me right now for Louisville.
Peyton Silver and Russ Smith.
Peyton Silver. That's right. That's right. Peyton Silver. Yeah, I mean Louisville. You know they'll fall back for a second, and then all of a sudden Rick Pitino had him coming out of nowhere. So that
Rick Pitino's a preparation coach. I know
that
from coaching. Rick Pitino, he's gonna have him on point.
Right. That Big East tournament is. We was talking about that earlier.
They played a good game Saturday. They played great Saturday.
They just turned Indiana over, so it's about to be a wrap. 69-63. Minnesota's up. Yeah, and they got the ball.
And it was playing in Minneapolis. I told you.
All the home teams,
they lost the big game Saturday.
Syracuse lost. That hurt me. That's my team.
Well, when you play at home, they say you're 10 point. You get 10 points better at home. So, you know, and like Syracuse. Every year Syracuse is ready. You know, Bayheim. Ready. They play that 2-3 zone, tight packed in zone. With them, you got to outshoot them, and that's what Otto Porter and Georgetown did the other day.
Yes, that's right. Mm-hmm. They sure did. How many did he have, kid? 33?
33.
33 points.
Okay.
33 points, 12 rebounds, 7 assists.
Okay, no doubt. So, I mean, what about a team like, I'm just going to throw a name out there. What about a team like Miami? I know Kia's going to get on me about this one. What do you think about Miami?
I like Miami. They got the kid who's a Larkin, and they got Dwayne Scott, who's a Rice product. They got a couple of other big kids. I mean, Miami, they lost the other day to Wake Forest. That was upset.
Yeah.
But Miami can be sneaky, too, but, you know, it's going to depend on the seniors, Dwayne Scott, to get there, because, see, they never really been there before like that. So it's going to be up to them dudes to carry them through and let them know how it goes down.
And the ACC tournament is going to be real for them.
Yeah,
that ACC tournament is going to be real. You're right. So, and let me get you on a flashback moment for a second, my dude. When the last time we seen Michigan, you know, ranked this high, man? We ain't seen this as the Barbies, right?
Trey Burke Michigan is a problem today. Well, first of all, the whole Big Ten conference this year is. I would have to say that might have been the top conference this year in college basketball is the Big Ten. I might have to go with the Big Ten this year.
Okay.
You know, the Big East is going down. Now they done broke it up.
Yeah, ain't
gonna
be no more Big East, right?
It's a shame how they broke up the Big East.
Yeah, man. It's crazy how they doing it to my conference, man.
Football.
You know,
they're doing it for football revenue.
Huh?
Yeah, I think they broke up the Big East for the
football.
Yeah,
they broke it up, man. Period. Because those other seven schools going to form their own little situation. The Catholic schools
and
going to form their own
core Catholic schools.
Yeah, because Syracuse is going to the ACC.
Yeah, and Pittsburgh.
Yeah, Pittsburgh, yeah. So, I mean, you
know. St. Mary's.
Who?
Well, St. Mary's, that's one of the West Coast. They can be sneaky, but I don't see them doing too much.
That's a team where Mike, you know they'll be probably put out west in the West Regional, and they'll take a team down to the last minute or something like that. You know what I mean? Nobody's talking about Butler. Remember, everybody used to love Butler.
Butler's not going nowhere.
Yeah, I don't think St. Mary's.
They're
a team. They got the kid in the backcourt, Deladova or whatever his name is. They nice, but that's that West Coast that thing. I don't think no West Coast team is going this year. It's going because a lot of the West Coast teams, if you notice this year, like UCLA out there and some of the Oregon, those teams is running in fast break. But when it gets down to the crunch time, you got to get in the paint.
No doubt.
Let me ask you a question.
Even though
Shabazz had to close, he had the eye infection.
Uh-huh.
He played with his right eye closed, barely closed.
Yeah, Muhammad, Shabazz Muhammad, that was a warrior.
Yeah, he had a
Let me ask you a question. Where is North Carolina?
North Carolina can be sneaky because they're not going to make the Sweet 16.
North Carolina
is starting to peak right now. That kid, what's the kid named Page in the backcourt or something like that? He's playing good the other day. The kid McAdoo is starting to play. They got the other kid who shoot the three, Bullock or something like Reggie. One of them kids out there. North Carolina can be sneaky. Roy Williams, he's a big game coach.
Okay. Yeah, I just feel like North Carolina
this year.
Huh?
NC State can be a problem also.
Oh yeah. That's another team that, you know. That's why I said that ACC tournament is gonna be bananas.
Definitely.
The ACC tournament is gonna be bananas. The Big Ten tournament. Do they have a tournament in the Big Ten?
Yeah, they do now.
Big Ten tournament is gonna be crazy. The Big East tournament is gonna be crazy. You know, then you got the Big 12 tournament is going to be crazy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Pac-12 is going to be crazy.
Oklahoma State
is
a nice team, too. That kid's smart in the backcourt is real.
For who?
For Oklahoma State, the freshman.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So basically.
What's name say he had a good game Saturday? What did he say Sunday? Larry Drew the second.
Oh, yeah. Out there at, what school is he at? UCLA?
He had a good game.
Yeah, he did.
He had a good game.
UCLA ain't going to do nothing.
They
got to get Kyle Anderson out there. Yeah, they got a nice team.
UCLA ain't going to make no noise. They go,
I don't think so. Like the West Coast team, I don't see it this year out there.
I see a lot of upsets that's going to happen in the tournament, though. A lot of upsets, my dude. It's going to be a lot of upsets. And I'm not scared. I've been rocking Syracuse hard body karate ever since, you know what I mean? Go back to Sherman Douglas and Pearl Washington and all that good stuff right there. But I see the way Syracuse is playing right now, we'll be a one and done.
They're shaky right now.
You know what I'm saying? They don't have the, you know, I don't know what's up with Sutherland. He's taking these crazy shots and Christmas is making, you know, boneheaded plays and Trish is trying. You know what I mean? But, you know, what can you do? But, you know, I'm not used to seeing my Syracuse Orangemen like ranked 12th. That's crazy. That's really crazy right there. That's really crazy.
They moved 4 spots back, right? They were 8.
They was 8. They used to be 3rd.
But if you notice, around tournament time, Syracuse start getting real tight.
Start peaking. That's why
peaking around that tournament time. Jim Behan, you know, he'll allow that little slippage, but believe me, he'll
get
be
that
tight by the time tournament starts.
Right, because I've been watching the Cuse for a minute. We're going to be, hopefully, and you know what's going to tell it for us, probably X, is how we do in the Big East tournament.
We usually
make it to the final. You know, we usually make it to Saturday night. You know what I mean? We make it to Saturday night in the Big East tournament, but I'm just like saying right now we got to get all this, you know, get this out of our system right now and get back to playing Syracuse basketball because they didn't even look confident, man. You know, we was down last night.
I just wish St. John's could come back a little bit
better.
Yeah,
then the city will be live.
Yeah, because
shout out to St. John's.
When I used to coach at Riverside Church, we had a relationship with St. John's. That's when Louis was there. When we Eric Barkley, we sent over there. We sent Tyrone over there. We sent a lot, Felipe. We sent a lot of dudes to St. John's. But I think Lavin, he's got to reach out a little more to these coaches in the city. St. John's has got to make it attractive to come to St. John's again, because see, with these AAU tournaments, it's not just playing in the Garden no more. That don't mean much no more. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
These kids play in these big stadiums all across the country. St. John's, they got to do something to make it attractive again to the city kids.
What do you think they need to do as far as, you know, they got a coach with a name. You know, Lavin, I mean, even though he's got his situation going on, he's not really hands on like he, you know, should be or whatever, but he's dealing with his situation. But what do you think what else do you think St. John's needs to do?
I'm trying to put my finger on it because see, they got Mo over there, they got Mo Hicks over there who came from right. Somehow they gotta reach out to these kids, man, and make it attractive now. See, with the AAU travel now, this and that. See, before, I mean, it was always AAU travel, but now it's ridiculous out there now. Yeah, I mean, the scale of AAU travel and how they treat these kids. I coached at Riverside for 10 years. It's ridiculous now. But somehow we gotta connect with. They gotta make. Say, Steve Lavin has gotta make New York a priority.
Right.
This got to be a priority. Anything, when I coached at Riverside, anything that came out of the city, St. John's, when Louis and them was there, they was coming, Walter, you know, they was coming. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Anything out of the city got to be a priority for St. John's.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's no reason. I mean, I guess the kid Whitehead from Lincoln, you know, he's going to go to Syracuse most likely, with Tiny and them saying whatever. But, like, they needed to make him a priority. Like, certain kids, they got to make a priority. They got to make St. John's be a priority to the city.
So
kids,
you don't
again.
Even want them to even kind of, like, leave the city. You want them to, you know, be, you know, stay in the city, represent, stay home, and this and that. And that would put St. John's back to where they need to be, because St. John's used to be the it right there.
Yeah,
but again,
and
you know,
that comes with building the facilities. You got to make the
weight room
be that. You got to make the dorms be that. It's something you got to be able to keep, because, see, it's a factor. Like, these kids now, they want to go away to school. You got to make something, got to be able to keep them here. You know what I'm saying? And it's a tricky medium to find that out.
But what's wrong with going away to school?
Nothing's wrong with going away to school. It's nothing at all, because I guess it's now these kids playing all these tournaments and this and that, and they go out and see the city. It's nothing wrong with playing with going away, but some of these kids, like the top five kids in the city, St. John's is not getting none of them. We're not in the hunt for John Sevier. We're not in the hunt for Isaiah Whitehead. We're not in the hunt for these.
Yeah, he's gone away.
Yeah, we're not in the hunt for none of these kids. Where when I coached at the church in Riverside with Lawrence and them, we always, out of the top five kids, we had to have two going to St. John's. We targeted them. We had to have that, where it's not like that no more, and somehow they got to find a way to get that back. I don't
so
know the way
like
they
got
to find a way.
Some kind of pipeline, man.
Yeah, exactly.
St. John. And again, if they're not, you know, recruiting in the city, then, you know, people are going to, like, you know, not really consider St. John's. And that, I think, like you said, you got to put, like, quote unquote, a full court press on the city.
I think it's,
you know,
I think it's more the program and the coach. If they like the coach, I don't know.
They tried the black coach thing.
What was the coach that was the black coach at St. John's? Jarvis?
Yeah, Mike Jarvis.
Mike Jarvis did not have the greatest relationship with New York coaches and New York AAU. And he kind of soured dudes on that, where I would program different Gauchos, New Heights, these programs. They was like, yo, I'll never send another kid to St. John's. And you can't have that in New York. You know what I'm saying? And I was on the inside of that. You can't have that in New York. You can't have the Gauchos dudes saying, we'll never send another kid Riverside. We'll never send New Heights.
Right.
You can't have that. Somehow he soured that relationship and set St. John's back about 10 years. And I know that personally.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
I know that.
I know somebody. I got to get a guy's name. He skipped St. John's to go play with LIU.
Wow, see? And
they just played Wagner, LIU and Saturday.
Yeah, they lost to Wagner. That was a good game.
Right. He came out of Zoo Crew. He came out of Storm of Craze group. He went to LIU. I mean, I don't know. You know Storm of Craze and Zoo Crew, they
Yeah, that's hard to tell, right, Zoo Crew?
Yeah, Tony McClain, yeah. They came on his program. Yeah, yeah. Because he was the LIU. He had a lot of kids that went into these programs, Kansas, Kentucky.
Yeah,
so,
cool. That's good. So McClain, they do a good job out there, no doubt.
Yeah, Tony McClain,
yeah. That's what it is.
So, he just played Sunday. He played with LIU. I think he's going to go to St. John. He was the LIU. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah,
but like it's the program.
I mean,
the last time
St.
John's lost somebody to LIU, that's what I'm talking about.
If a squad like Michigan can come back from, you know, from the dead, you know,
yeah.
Hopefully, you know, St. John's can do it. We know, one of these days soon.
Two different programs. Two different programs.
Yeah. But it's, but two different programs in what kind of way? I mean, if you want to flip it on a basketball level, St. John's is right there with Michigan.
Yeah,
no, I don't agree with that. No.
St. John's was St. John's used to run the city. St. John's?
Oh yeah.
And that's the level they need to be back on. St. John's was running the city. You mad?
Of course.
Chris Mullin, Martha, come on now. Duncan, David Russell, they was running the city.
Of course. Willie Glass,
is that they need to be back on that level. It wasn't
okay,
about Syracuse.
Okay, Chris Mullin played there. How many times has Chris Mullin tried to make this school?
Huh?
I mean, do Chris Mullins come back to the school?
Like
to St. John's?
Yeah.
All the time.
See, Chris Mullins is a viral. Oh, I know that personally. Chris,
okay.
What, Mullins? He's there with Louie all the time.
Okay.
We just had Billy Goodwin on the show, man, about a month back, man. You know what I mean? He took it back to the days when, you know, St. John's, when St. John's was powerful. St. John's, that name held a lot of weight. That means to rock the St. John's starter jackets. Don't get it
twisted. If I was the coach at St. John's, I would have Mark Jackson involved,
yeah.
Chris Mullin. Where if I had a recruit, and St. John's is that local network like that, I would, Mark, I need you to give a call to this kid. Tell him about St. John's and your experience there.
Right.
That means a lot to a kid. Mark Jackson, Chris Mullin. That's what they need to do to go back.
Why didn't they snatch him up, the coach? Why didn't St. John's snatch Mark Jackson?
I don't know. I'm still debating that. They should have been snatched him up.
Yeah, that would have been a natural progression right there, and I think that's where you made it.
If Mark was the coach at St. John's, we wouldn't be losing these kids like we do.
Anything out of Loughlin
would have been there. We're not in the hunt for Kadeem Harrison. We're not in the hunt for Mike Williams. Those are two local kids from from Loughlin. We're not in the hunt for both of those kids.
And that's a shame.
C.J. Davis from Malloy. We're not in the hunt for that. We're not in the hunt for none of the kids from Hayes. Siobhan Newkirk, Tyler Wilson signed them to Manhattan. We're not in the hunt for none of those kids.
And you said, like you just said, one of the kids is going to Manhattan. So they still keeping it local, but they're just not messing with St. John's.
Where's White House going? He was known. Where's White House going?
Whitehead?
Yeah, where's he going?
Well, it's looking like they're saying Syracuse, but then now they're saying Kentucky is coming in, so,
it
remains to be seen, but they're not saying St. John's.
You just said the right thing because the twins.
That's what they do, though. They're not saying St. John's.
The two high school twins are going to Kentucky. That's, you're right. So the two twins are going to they're going to Kentucky. And you're right, he might be going to Kentucky.
They're going to need him after Noel. Any, you heard anything about Noel? Is he done? Is he going to be done?
They said his ACL, and it's a shame, man, because the kid was just starting to come into his own when he caught that injury, and it was a fluke injury. It wasn't like one of those, he came down wrong. He's going to be good, though, definitely.
He'll be back. He's definitely going to be good.
Yeah.
He's 6'11". He's not even 7 foot.
Yeah.
He's 6'11".
Indiana trying to come back, 76-73, 4 seconds left. Indiana just dropped a three. They just drained one from almost half court.
Wow.
They're losing that game.
Bottom. It's 76-73, Minnesota, 4.2 seconds left.
Yes, it's hard, man. This year ain't no clear-cut number one.
Yeah, man. And in your opinion, X, do you think this is a good college basketball season or a bad college basketball season?
Well, I think it's a good basketball season as far as parity. They're saying the scouts and everything are saying that it's really like this will be probably one of the weakest drafts, though.
Right, right, right.
You're saying, like, it's so, no, like, you know, I like how every year you got a clear cut. Like, when Pat was in that year, was Pat Ewing, Ralph Sampson,
or each
year was that one player? Like, it's really no clear cut player this year.
Right.
So, it's, you know, they say it's going to be a weak draft, but as far as parity wise, anybody can win it this year.
No doubt. So, in your opinion, do you feel like, you're saying that it's a good season in regards parity wise? Do you feel like, you know, are we even paying attention, or do we even remember the guys that did the one and dones, like Kentucky with their starting five? They did the one and done. You know, the kids that leave early. Do we miss those guys, or has the quality of the game, you know, has it lessened, or you know, do we have?
Well,
to...
I'm gonna tell you, man. Like, I think, like, I don't know, man. Like, as far as when these kids is coming up nowadays, man, like, I see, as far as me coaching basketball, the kids are either real good or you're garbage right now. Like, when I played, it was a balanced line. You had dudes that could shoot jump shots. So
that's right.
I think, man, it's different now, man. And it's like, I don't know, these kids, you get some of these kids, they come out after that 1 year, like, that hurt Kentucky. But,
yeah,
you know, you can't deny these kids the right to make the money, man. You got
that's right.
Tennis that these kids come swimming or whatever. If they can make the money, go get it, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it's like a catch 22, man, and it's like kind of like almost you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't, because
yeah,
you look at it as a situation, like even with the situation with Carmelo, I was kind of salty, my dude, and I'm going to keep it funky with you, because why are you retiring his jersey? What did he do?
Yeah. Well,
you know what I'm saying? I mean, he won
a
title,
no,
granted, they won a championship, granted, and I mean, but what was the bottom line thing? Are you supposed to go to school and get your education? You won a championship. What else is there for you to do? What you mean, what else is there for you to do? You got to get your, you know what I mean? But
yeah.
Money talks and BS run the marathon. We know what Nino Brown said. But, yo.
But, you know, I think they just started if I was going to come back to Kentucky, the freshmen. They'll come back.
Who that? Who you said?
I said Kentucky's freshmen that's here now. I think these guys will come back. They're not going
to
come out.
Yeah, but they got to. There's
no
clear-cut pros on that now.
They
don't have
no
clear-cut pros. They got to come back.
They got to come. And plus,
they got to come back.
Plus, Calipari got a new squad that's coming now. He got a guy. The Quins are coming. They be coming to him. They're going to him.
I'm going. Yeah, but Kentucky this year, they don't have nobody that can come out this year. And Calipari, he's probably advising them, because when Calipari, when he got to do, like he told Deron, you know, you can come back. I thought Deron should have came back, but he went out and got the money. But they don't have no clear-cut person to come out this year.
And besides
Noel.
Right, it was hurt, right. Mm-hmm. But what do you think about the kid down in at Kansas, Ben McFarland?
Ben McFarland, he's nice, but
you go. Right.
Yeah, and if I have to say but, then it's a problem. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I feel he needs another year. Another year, let's see what he do. He may could come out after that, but, like, this year, I don't feel there's nobody that's won and done this year.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Nobody.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, again, it's you could just put 64 names in a hat, and you'll pull out probably, you know, different one every time or whatever. And
yeah,
I just think that
this year's a crapshoot. It's a crapshoot.
Yeah.
It's gonna be funny. It's gonna be good to see who makes the first team this year, because you got a kid down at Murray State who's a beast too. That kid Isaiah Cannon is a beast.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
he's
mm-hmm,
gonna be a
mm-hmm.
first round pick with somebody. Just like I told dudes last year, the kid Damon Lillard coming out of Weaver State.
Right.
He played 4 years at school.
He's
he came out ready made. I said he's gonna be a problem, and he's a problem this year at Portland.
Number one goes down, Minnesota 77, Indiana 73.
Wow.
They bum rushing the court right now, so Indiana goes down again. They be number one like 3 times this season. So,
it's a big night in Minneapolis, boy. They're going to go to the bar tonight. I've been in Minneapolis.
Yeah.
Right there.
But they're going to be number one this week.
So if you were dealing as far as with the NCAA, what would you do to like change the situation to make it, you know, feasible for a kid to get his education and to have a chance to, you know, be, you know, in a position to make some money at the same time?
Well, I would say, man, they need to have a system in place where you go to these schools, they're making a whole bunch of money off these kids playing basketball. They're selling their jerseys in the store. I would say a percentage of those sales need to go into an account for these kids just so they can make it, because I was in college and it was hard then, and I can imagine it's pretty still hard now, but,
mm-hmm.
you know, the money scale they're making off these kids, there needs to be something put back.
Right, right. And I think it's as simple as that, basically. You know what
basically,
I mean?
Because that's it.
When you can't even, you know, have money, you know, to take yourself out to eat without it looking suspicious or having to have a invoice, that's crazy. You know
exactly.
What I mean?
I
disagree
with you. They know the rules before they even come. They know the intro. They know the rules.
Let me tell you something.
When
I coached at Riverside Church, when them kids that used to go away to them schools, if they needed a coat, we was going to get them a coat, yo.
Right.
That cannot be a violation. This man is cold. He's out here at this school. He need a coat. We got him a coat. How is that a violation?
Right.
I don't think it's more than that. You get no coat or find them. I think it's more the bigger stuff. You can buy them a coat. But I'm just saying, everybody knows the rules when you come playing under NCAA. You know the rules.
Hold on, we got another call on the line. Hold on one second. Okay, we got some now rule thing right now. I got my man Coach K, K Bourne, Team 914 on the line.
Peace to K Bourne, my dude. A great man right there, boy. Great man.
Welcome to the bigger show, my dude.
Brother.
What's good, man?
Peace.
We've been trying to get you for a minute. What's going on, my dude?
Everything is good. I was just listening to the conversation, what was going on, and you know.
Yes, sir.
You got some positive things, positive thoughts, you know. But the first thing we got to do, you know, as me dealing with the young men every day in and out, we got to educate the young men how to spend their money correctly.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You can't see, because this is a problem we're having with a lot of these young pros right now. They getting
right.
the money, and they're not educated what to do with the money, and they throwing the money away within, you know, years of time at the end of their time. They have no money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so before, you know, you got to think about it. I understand what you're saying as far as a coat, something to eat in college, because I was in that same boat, you know. But the reality of it is it has to be managed by somebody.
True.
You know, it can't just be given to them because they're not going to know how to act with it, and, you know.
Yeah, you're right. You're definitely right. Young boy get a hold of too much money, you know, Kay.
Yes, sir.
So that's one of the thoughts on that. But it's definitely they need to try to get back somewhere, in some form of fashion, because they are killing the game.
But coach, how do they find a happy medium, my dude? How do they find a happy medium and say, okay, you're doing this for our school, we want to show some kind of, you know, even though that you're there on scholarship, that's been paid for already by my bong, but we want to show our appreciation to you. But like you said, you can't give them too much because then they're gonna lose their mind. So, but what do you do to keep it in check?
Let's be real. NCAA got it, the game so messed up, it's hard.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're telling the kid he can't even
right.
have
that's
a job.
That's what needs to be said from the door. That's right.
You know what I'm saying? They're telling the kid he can't even have a job.
Exactly.
Like, come on. Mm-hmm. We're dealing with more than just giving somebody some money right now. You're
right.
telling me I can't have a legal job? You
right.
know what I'm saying? Like, come on. If I can maintain my grades and maintain whatever I'm doing and still work, why can't I work like that? That's
keep,
the crazy
and,
part.
And keep your name in the newspaper and keep you in the top three in the country. If I can do that, why can't I, you know, hold down a little 9-to-5 or something to do when
I mean,
you know, on my off time?
It should also be some type of meal stipend for the kids. When I went to school, I know school, you know, the last meal was about 5:00.
Mm-hmm.
If you didn't eat at 5 in the cafeteria, the last meal, you was done for the night.
Okay.
Now, the average brother that walks around the street don't eat dinner until about 8:00.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. You know what I'm saying?
So it came on the air.
you eating at 5:00. You know what I'm saying? And you starting at 8:00, 9:00, huh?
Some schools got late meals.
Nowadays they do, but when
nowadays,
you know, back
right.
in my day,
right.
you know, I'm a little old. I'm 45,
yeah,
but back
okay.
in my day, the
say.
Cafeteria was closed at 5 or 6:00. It's open.
Oh, no.
Like you
I
didn't get your meal.
Yeah, okay.
You know, since my day, so I haven't been to school in a long time, so I don't really
okay.
know. You know what's going on, and my
no,
kids.
They got late meals now. Late meals.
Okay, that's understandable, but the kids still got to be able to, you know, when you see guys wearing certain things and it's wintertime and you don't got no boots and you up in Syracuse, you know, it's got to be a way to help those type of kids out.
Exactly.
You know, it has to be some type of way to help them out. It doesn't have to be cash in hand, but it definitely has to be some type of stipend
to go on.
Let me
ask a question. How are they going to get a job? How are they going to have a job going basketball season? I'm assuming they're going to have a job after the basketball season over because you got basketball in class. How would they maintain a job if they got basketball in class?
They can have them, believe me. You got certain boosters in school. You got time. You can have a low job, but the NCAA is talking about you can't have a job. Now, it is ours, because when I was going into school, we had low jobs that you could do to get a couple of dollars to get by, and that counts. You need that at the school just for basic food and the refrigerator and everything like that. You need those.
We're not talking about like a real Burger King job. All right, but listen to this.
I understand what you're saying, but what about the kid that's struggling in class and then he got to go to practice? Because every kid is struggling. Some kids are not like, you know, that right, you know, whatever, they're struggling, maintain grades, they stay eligible. How are they going to have a job?
Well, you
know,
that
this
on
is some
kids
need a stipend.
Situation.
All the kids, listen, this is just like real life. Every kid can't maintain a job. Every grown-up can't maintain a job.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? So this is one thing you have to understand about that. So it's not going to work for everybody.
Exactly.
But the ones who are good to do it have to, you know, get the chance to do it. Now think about it. In my day, I remember, I think it was Greg Anthony. It was someone from UNLV. He had his own shirt company. He came up with his own idea for shirts. You know what I'm saying? We just talking about T-shirts. That's all he was saying.
Yes,
and he started his business off, and they took his scholarship away.
Yes, sir. They damn sure did.
I mean, you know, I'm talking about minor things. I'm not talking about nothing as big as, like, you know, like every kid got to go work at Burger King or something like that. No, we're talking about maybe a school job during the day.
So he was saying 4 hours
for himself as
an entrepreneur, and they snatched it from him.
Yeah. But he was making enough money where he ended up paying for the rest of his own scholarship.
Exactly.
So,
when I was in school, there was a lot of guys that was barbers. I guess they was cutting up other guys' hair, so they was, you know, making money cutting hair.
Yeah, definitely. But I mean, but it has to be a way that, you know, you got to help the kids. Like, it could be a school job, as simple as working the girls' basketball game. You know, it doesn't have to. The average kids nowadays don't go to school but 3 or 4 hours a day.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, college.
So that leaves some time,
you know.
Besides
the job, it has to be some type of stipends to help these young men out and young women out nowadays so that they don't do the crazy thing. When somebody's stealing some food out of a Stop and Shop, you know, then we got real issues with that.
Right.
You know, these guys, you said, they're making millions of dollars off you, but young man is hungry and all he stole was some snacks.
And the bottom line is, he's the one that's keeping your name in the paper.
Exactly.
He's the one that's keeping CBX at your school every April and May.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? So what is the? Why can't he, you know, have something so he can survive? It's not talking about trying to live, you know, live large or whatever, or lavishly or whatever. You just want to survive.
You just want to survive and eat.
Look, most of the kids live in a house nowadays. Even if you're giving them, you know, like a person who takes them to the grocery store, you know, every 2 weeks.
Right.
Just to put food in the house. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So then it's a point of, if you're just running through all your food, you're not managing it right. But you do have food in the house.
And these just growing young dudes that's playing, they're going to run through that shit in 2-3 days. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. But it'll be more than what they had the day before.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know what I'm saying? And it's some type of give back, because you're not going to get it all back. They're not going to give you everything they're making back.
True.
Exactly. They just break off a little piece, you know, in certain ways. And, you know, we have to get people to manage his money.
So,
we can't
get
it cash.
So now, after this conversation, the person who's sitting back in the cut is looking at it and saying, well, okay, they got the football is the revenue generator, the basketball is the revenue generator, but what about the tennis team or the swimming team? So if you're giving the football team X amount of money, how come the same can't be given to the other, you know, so-called sports at the school, at the particular school or whatever?
No. I wouldn't limit it to just, you know,
it should be everything.
And then it also has to be a point of discretion of haves and have not.
That's true, too.
Right, because there's no need to give it to the one on the tennis team and they don't have a scholarship because they play sports, but their parents can afford to pay for college.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, well, let's, you know, I don't want to go still. Like Puffy's son.
Right.
I was
talking about that last week.
Puffy's son get the scholarship with his, you know, come on, let's be real, you know. You don't need no
scholarship. Exactly. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my God. I said that. Oh, my God.
Yeah, she said that last week. She said you didn't need a scholarship.
I'm a big advocate against that. Are you kidding me?
But
yeah,
we were, but the position that we
now
took.
Now he's going to have Roddy his luxury car on campus with a side trip.
The position we took was that, coach.
Yeah, I hear you.
The position that we took was that Puffy's son earned that.
Come on.
How many other kids earn it with this effing that? Have it
that,
in the classroom that don't play sport.
That's true.
But to have money and, you know, they still got to pay to go to school. Like, it's
yeah.
It's got to be discretion
with
that.
What do you do?
That.
I don't huh? know. I don't
he
shouldn't
have gotten no scholarship there. He should have been accepted to the school, but
exactly.
He should he took a scholarship
oh
from somebody
God.
That needed it.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, okay.
All
right.
You know, what about the dude? What about the dude that needed that scholarship?
Exactly.
Now, he's
exactly.
out of it, but dude can afford
dude
to pay to go to school. We're not
exactly.
talking about...
The dude that needs the scholarship that didn't get it because Puffy's son got it, he's probably going to go to another school in the Pac-12.
Yeah, but he probably ain't going to go to that school.
He won't go to UCLA.
This is
college football,
you know.
Right.
We might not never hear him now. He may not make the cut now.
See, now, this is what I'm saying.
Well,
this is exactly the problem.
You know?
Example. Exactly
but is
what
he
I
taking away? Is he taking away two scholarships or just one? Because, like you said, if he takes the scholarship that he, or what if he wasn't good enough to get the scholarship, and now Puffy got all this money, and say I could throw, you know, $3 million towards building a building or whatever, and then all of a sudden now Puffy's son is on the team.
I mean,
it works both ways.
I don't know. I don't want to be down on anybody,
exactly.
But from my perspective of it, I don't know if he even was he that good in football.
Yeah, he's good.
Yeah,
exactly.
That's
he's good.
My
yeah, he's
thing.
Nice.
Like,
huh?
I didn't
he's
know.
Nice.
He's nice. Oh, he's nice. But I live here. I can watch those games. I've been to every game. I'm from New York.
You never heard of him.
We the state champions. You know.
Yeah.
Nah, he played against us in Pop Warner.
Okay.
Sports. You know, he was a quarterback. He was always
right.
nice. Him and my man Shaw, they
uh-huh.
were good.
Right.
But, you know, they went to the prep school.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
You know,
right.
Now, they went to the public school. Were they nicer than the kids that were in the public school?
No.
I guess
you know
we'll never know, right?
Now,
right.
You, because they playing with a different kid and a different echelon of kids when they go to private school. You know what I'm saying? You all understand that. You know
mm-hmm.
what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And you're gonna get a different look for school.
Exactly.
Of course, you're going to private school and different things. Now he was very good. Don't get it twisted.
Right.
But me and my coaches and everybody half the town on each town was like, dude's going to UCLA?
Right.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah.
Right, okay, that didn't add up. That didn't make sense.
Yeah.
We was like, yo, what? Like, yo. Hear me out. My son is Ray Rice. We had a hard enough time getting Ray Rice to Rutgers.
Word.
But nobody except Ray Rice as a running back but
right.
Rutgers. The rest of the whole, everybody else told him he was a defensive back. He wasn't a running back, except for Rutgers. And he said, I'm going to take this shot and I'm going to go to Rutgers. We had to fight to get him there. Now, he's a fucking top pro in the league.
There you go.
I'm just saying, like, that money, the Puffy's fame has something to do with that scholarship.
Yep.
Oh, yeah,
okay,
because he was on the sideline, and now he was positioning himself. He's getting ready.
Yeah,
he's getting ready.
Yo, not to interrupt you, I gotta go, I got a session, but I wanna say one thing before I leave you. It's good to be on the show, but I wanna give a special shout out to my man Jay Bone, because you see, y'all got somebody on the phone that's been a leader of the community who I came up with, played football with, who's raised, and Jay Bone and them dudes up in New York, they've raised a level of championship. Like, they've raised to believe that they champions in New York, and it's manifested itself, and I'm out, and Jay Bone, peace to the God.
Yo,
and,
thanks
I'm
for calling there. My dude, peace. Peace, God.
Peace. Knowledge.
All right,
gang. Peace.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Yeah, it's okay, man. Yeah, so, you know, elaborate, touch on that a little bit more, my dude, in regards to your situation in regards to, like, basketball. I know you're all about, you coach football, you coach basketball. Talk a little bit about Team 914, man.
Okay, yeah. Well, what I do is about 15 years ago, I started a program called Team 914 out of Westchester, New York. New Rochelle was our base, but we deal with everybody. Westchester City, Harlem, Brooklyn, we don't care, you know what I'm saying? It's
mm-hmm.
all about the kids getting a different look and, you know, getting them out to different places to see different lifestyles and see what's going on with different people. Not just basketball, you know what I'm saying? It's basically like a youth mind-building program.
Okay.
And, you know, we start at the age of like 6, and we go to 19, and then we go into men pro. You know, we run the different boys clubs and different like that. We sit down and we also talk and educate the kids about real life. Like, we be uncle figures, basically.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't say father, but I would say more like an uncle. You know, we deal with the young men. You know, we sit down. If they need tutors, we try to bring young people in there to help them out.
Right.
Family situations, we might have fundraisers because we know dude might not have them cleats, but he might be the best football player in the town.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so the same thing we should talk about with the college. So my program, this is basically what we do. We, you know, we skills and drills program on the off season. We go all the way around. We're in our second year of AAU. Normally it was just citywide, statewide thing. Then, you know, we jumped into AAU, which we had great success last year. And my 11th grade team was number 7 in the nation out of 150 teams in Florida. So we got a good look. You know, I have Ray Rice, who backs me, who came through the program and played with me since he was probably about 12 years old. So he helps us out. But the main thing is about just getting the kids off the street, take them somewhere else. You know, see, they can see a different lifestyle. And maybe, you know, they might want to move to Pennsylvania one day. They might want to move, you know, wherever they get to see. But if you don't see it, you don't understand it.
Yeah, right, right,
and,
right.
And that's one thing about it. So we just try to get the kids out of the hood to, you know, see different things. And then it evolved into basically someone like a machine. Like, you know, these kids nowadays that go pro. You know, so you build the kids to.
Let me ask a question. So what are the kids, so the kids that you know, that went through the program the first time, how has their progress, has it been maintained or has it been above? Have they exceeded beyond what you think they, you know, at a level now?
Well,
we still got work to do.
We still got work to do.
I know we still got work to do. I'm just saying with the progress.
my program, basically, you know, to be honest with you, we cater to everyone.
Okay.
So you don't so like I'm gonna explain it to you. We might have 4 third grade teams. You know, being that we're not turning down any kids to play the sport.
Mm-hmm.
But every kid is not at the same level in tune. So
exactly.
So we might take the lesser kid with the lesser skill and we'll put them in a Division 2 or 3 where the competition is where they're not getting killed and they're not losing confidence every
game. Right, it's on their level.
And they're having some fun while they're playing the game. You know, so basically, so it's not always just about that kid who's going to be the superstar. You know, you have
exactly.
We cater to all of them. And, you know, you never know who's going to be the better kid from 8 years old to when they get in high school. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, we don't turn down anybody. And we just try to teach the game the right way. And we try to teach life the right way.
Because their talent may not flourish until they get to high school. Their talent may not flourish until they get to high school, but they're too busy looking at the superstar they think that's in elementary. So when they get to high school, their talent may be far exceeded than you thought it was going to be.
Oh no, yeah, you could never really tell. You could tell a kid who's a little special, but the kid who's always a little superstar doesn't always be the man when he gets to high school.
Exactly.
You know, because sometimes he loses interest. You know, he's been the man so long. That he doesn't
get
bored on anymore. That he gets bored, yes. And, you know, you have that kid that never got to get in the game in 7th and 8th grade, and all he's doing is running outside, working out every day, you know, going hard, because the motto is hard work beat talent. If talent don't work hard, you know. And so the kid that's lesser, he's going to be working hard every day. Harder, 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 trying to catch the man that's in front of him. Yes. Yes. So you never know when they get to be adult age. A young adult, you never know what you're gonna get. So you have to cater to everyone.
Right.
So how do you teach them to balance everything, sports and classwork? You know, some kids think that, you know, they get in their head, all they do is gotta worry about sports. You know, they see the money.
I mean, nowadays.
Nowadays,
I don't know. Like, nowadays, the game has changed a lot. Like I said, when I grew up, my parents would sit down with me and do homework. Now I find that 10-year-old kids' parents that don't sit down and help them. You know, they expect them to know it already. So basically what we try to do is the after-school programs and the boys' clubs and the things of that nature to try to help the kids, you know, get some type of adult help while they're at the boys' club before they go to practice. So what we normally do is the kids get bused to school get the bus to the boys' club right after school.
Uh-huh.
We usually don't have practice till about 5:30, so it gives them ample time to go into the homework room, you know, knock out their homework, sit down, be
able to
communicate with other
people. And you got to help them with their homework and to watch that student, you know, to take their homework.
Yes. I mean, you know what they say.
Okay.
It takes a village to raise these kids now, say. No one person can do it on their own. You know,
exactly.
It's very,
because
very, very hard.
Because some parents, they're not equipped to do algebra, too. To do geometry, they don't want to even read through the, you know, stuff
like
that. They just
like,
you know,
like you said,
I mean,
they expect them to know it all because they expect the school
to
give them,
and then,
you know, that.
And then nowadays, you know, dealing with the things that we deal with nowadays, the work changes so much. Like, I'm 45. I don't have young kids, but if I had a 10-year-old kid around here, I'm pretty sure the math and all that's changed so much that I might not be up to level with it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So then it's hard for me to help my child if that's the case.
Right.
You know, like, so that has a big thing with it. And then people's pride is so much. I mean, you have people that work two jobs, you know what I'm saying? And they don't have the strength to help their child when they get home.
Mm-hmm.
But that's when you have to let the pride go a little bit and try to seek out some type of help.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
You know, these little programs and things like that. There's people that will help you, but you have to reach out, you know? And that's the reality. But my Team 914 program, we've been doing it 2 years, and it's been going very good. You know, the kids, you know, we've been working with the kids with the state championship team in the Rochelle.
Okay.
We're basically trying to get all these kids into school right now. So that's our main focus right now. You know?
All right.
So what do you do for the summer? What do you do for the summer when they get out of school?
The summer we play summer ball. We play ball all year round basically, and we do football. So most of my kids are all multi sport kids. They play football, basketball, baseball, run track. You know, so we stay busy all year round. So when basketball's over, we go into football season. Summertime we do summer ball. We play in the various Dykemans, the Hoops in the Sun, the Rucker Cough tournament, you know, so we're everywhere throughout the city, Queens, Brooklyn, Connecticut, you know, so we travel, and do we do AAU now? So AAU is basically spring ball, and we go to, you know, Pennsylvania, we go to Virginia, we go to Florida, we go to Tennessee, so, you know, we get to see other lights. Yes.
What about the kids that's trying to get into sports, but they're not as advanced as the ones you got now? Do you still let them attend?
Yes, because I told you, every kid, we may have three teams. We won't have, you know, we have a team that's lesser skill level, and we have a team that's a better skill level. So we may have three third grade teams, but they may not all be the same skill level. So we'll put the best on one team, we'll put lesser on another, but we'll all put them in certain different levels of play so that it compromises to their talent.
I missed that part. I didn't hear that part.
I mean,
okay.
Yeah, no, mostly all the kids, like when it comes to AAU, see, AAU, to me, personally, AAU is a scam.
Why
you know,
say
that? Yeah, they're charging kids thousands of dollars for like 5 weeks of basketball, man.
Okay.
Yeah.
Come on, man. Like, you know, you got to be the nicest dude not to pay, and it's just crazy, like.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Let's be real. $1,000 for 5 weeks of basketball?
Right.
Two practices a week? What is that, man?
Yeah. Okay.
Where most of the kids, when we come up, we never play AAU because we couldn't afford
right.
it. You know what I'm saying? Unless
that's
you
the
that
difference
best kid,
between never playing AAU. You can't afford it. Okay.
I think those program parents try to keep their kids in a program when they think that they can enhance their kids' skills. Well, you got like certain programs that I know here in Newark, like Zoo Crew and other crew that they have. These kids' parents can't afford a $1,500 or $1,000 program each, you know, to child care. You absolutely correct. It is ridiculous.
So why did the prices get outrageous like that? Where did it, you know, why did it
How does it always work like that, bro? It works like let's be real. I don't want to pull a race card, but let's be honest about it. If they put the price up, that means our kids can't play.
So basically, from the door, they don't want you to play from the door. So they're excluding you. They boxing you out with $1,000 stuff.
They tried, and then what happened was then when you get these companies like Nike and them involved, they're back in the program now. So now they get the best team because they go into the best program and they tell them, listen, we got you. Now you can get any kid you want. You don't got to pay.
Right. Okay.
And so
it's like that program
up
here at North Academy up here in Livingston. They got a program like that. Like you said, it's $1,000. You may see a lot of white kids. You probably see two black kids because their parents can afford $1,000.
Yeah.
Don't know a lot of black kids playing in that program, but you do. You are absolutely correct. It is that much money. But like I said, it's only a few blacks that their parents can afford that program.
So you got a lot of
suburban kids that go play into the urban area kids in the program because they like the program.
So basically what we've done, we basically cut that in half.
Right.
You know, that price in half so that our kids can afford to pay and we give them, like, payment plan.
Right.
Nobody expects you to pay the $500 at one time. You know, come with your little deposit here and work, you know, because we understand what it is and we want everybody to play. We want everybody to get the experience. If you're not a baller after that, we understand you're not a baller. But you take the chance and get the chance to play, you know, because every kid wants that. You know, they don't have to be a
fundraiser on the side to help fund the stuff that goes to like Pennsylvania, like you were saying, Connecticut. You do fundraiser.
When I started, Ma, I started straight from the bottom level. You know, I would go to street vendors. I would go to the bodega. I would go to the local drug dealer. You know, if you're standing on the block, bro, you need to help these kids out.
Keep it 100.
Yeah, give me $100, man. I'll be back at Friday. Give me $100 so these kids can get in the tournament. And that's how I started, you know, because in the beginning, none of my kids were pros. And, you know, once Ray Rice grew up and became a pro, and, you know, last year was the first year he really capitalized on money when he got the contract. Soon as he got the money, he texted me and he said, listen, I'll send all the kids, I'll play for all the kids to go to Florida. And I make sure everything's paid for the summer.
Wow.
And listen, I couldn't say no more, but, you know, a tear dropped in my eye, and I said, thank you, brother. You know,
talk about for a second, like, watching Ray come up, man. It's like being the kid, you know, shout out to Miss Janet, you know what I mean? And shout out to the whole Hollow Masters, man, you know what I'm saying? Just talk about for a second, like, what it's like to just, you know, throw the ball around when he was little. What did you see? You know what I mean?
Ray was different.
And now you got a Super Bowl champion on your hands.
We knew Ray was going to be special, but we never knew Ray was going to be a pro. Like, we knew he was going to be good as a youth. The thing about it was me and my man Byron Kershaw and Rich Page, we were athletes. We used to sit outside.
I know.
And we used to be on the monkey bars in the summer, going hard, working out hard. Like, you know, that was our thing. And Ray was one of the kids at about 6 or 7 years old, that he used to sit right there and watch us. And he used to ask us, how can you get muscles at 9 and 10 years old?
Right.
When the other kids was running around the basketball court, he was sitting there watching us do pull-ups.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that amazed us. Like, yo, this little dude ain't playing. Like, he can sit in here watching us do work out.
Right.
And that had always been his mentality. It was always no-nonsense mentality. I remember when 10 years old, we took him to Pennsylvania to play a game. He hit two kids, put one kid out of the game, and this was the first quarter in the minute in the game. The coach stopped the game and said, listen, you can't play no more. Like, so he was just like already that type of kid.
Right.
And, you know, his mentality, it was his cousin. Like, everybody, you know, say Soup, but it was his cousin Los. Los and Aunt Rice, they had instilled that winning, that we pro mentality in his brain.
Right.
You know, he looked up at them. His cousin Lose was the first one to go to Iona Prep where Puffy's son went. He was one of the first kids that they had ever took out of the hood and let go to that school.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? He was the first one.
I'm glad he do commit, you know, that he said he comes back and do for the kids. But I meant to tell you, I'm still a fan, and I do not like the Ravens, but I am glad that he does do what he has to do for
Hold on,
hold on, hold on. My ears are deceiving me here. The biggest Steeler fan, Raven hater, talked all that junk about the Ravens.
I am the biggest Raven hater. I do not like the Ravens. I'm a Giants fan, man.
What's that special name you got for the Ravens, Skier?
Ratbirds.
Oh, my God. We was getting into business all season, my dude.
I can't stand the Ravens. Any diehard Steeler fan, do not like the Ravens. You know, I took a lot of heat because I was not rooting for the Ravens. I'm a Delta, and I'm supposed to represent the Qs because I'm a Delta, because I found, I don't think I'm doing that. I don't like the Ravens.
Mike, so, you still on the line?
But Ray Rice, what you saying about Ray Rice?
Mike, you got a fellow Giants fan on the line. Coach K is
a Giants fan on the line.
Yeah, he's in. He's a Giants fan.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, New York, everything, man.
But the difference, Coach K, is Mike don't know nothing about the Giants. You probably know something about the Giants.
You know what?
Let me. we got about ten minutes left. So Kay, I want you to give me a little quick rundown on what you think about the Knicks. I wanted to get into that with you, but maybe we can get into it another time. But what's the Knicks looking like to you right now?
I love the Knicks, man, but I don't know right now. We're not gelling right now. There's something about that unit that's on the court. Ain't playing the same as the unit. I kind of like the younger dudes don't get no light. What's the kid's name with the dreads? Anybody help me?
I know what you're talking about, the kid with the dreads.
The younger guys don't get no
light.
I know what you're talking about. That's his name escaping me right now. We keep running off and getting these old veterans, man. But the young guys,
I said you got to think.
You think about it. The young dude with the dreads, he scored 25 in one game.
Copeland.
Now we got dudes like Copeland. There you go. Now we got dudes like Amon Shumpert and them, who's supposed to be the truth, but they ain't scored 20 points in a game yet. Think about it. My man Copeland came in and had a 25 point game, but he don't get no light when the big boys come back.
Yeah, we said that at the beginning of the season.
We gotta get some young blood in the game.
And then the playoffs slow down a little bit.
But we got to get some
turns around and start. What do you think about us picking up Kenyon Martin, man?
I don't know. I guess we need somebody that's just gonna be tough.
I never thought I'd see the day with Kenyon Martin and 10-day contract in the same sentence. Yeah. You know, but you know,
yeah,
at forty some odd years old, you know. Yeah, is this a 50-win team?
50? We got a tough schedule this
close, right? Yeah.
Games coming down, man. So we don't play good on the road. We ain't been playing good against the tougher teams, so I don't know, man. We might get about 45. We just hope to be.
Yeah, that's
in
what
that
X is like. X is like 45. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. See, it's 50. It's going to be tough right now. Unless it's just on a nice streak, man. We 15-15 last 30 games.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? So that's basic, simple 500 basketball, man.
That's what it is. So what's your little? I know spring training just started. So what are you thinking about the Yankees right now, man? You know, Curtis Granderson broke his arm.
Yankees always gonna be tough. But shit, what Toronto done picked up? Toronto got Jose Reyes, they got Pickett, they got Dickey, they loaded it up.
Hold on, Angie, thanks for joining the proceedings at 9:54.
Ladies, whoever's in the building, I know I'm
what's
a little
going
late.
On?
Not so much. I was calling to say hi, and I was just listening to your conversation about the Knicks or whatever. And what happens is when they go into trades and all of, well, this is my opinion anyway, when they're going into trades and all of that stuff, they look at the person as an individual and not sit back and think what the chemistry will be like when they come to play with their team. You know what I'm saying? And then they invest all this money. So that's why the younger people are not getting that play, because they have to get the use out of their investment. That's where all the money is going. So they, of course, they're going to play all the big dogs, which is crazy because, again, their chemistry clashes so much, I think, that, you know, it's just they don't think when they're doing these trades.
And really, really, you know, in regards to trades and picking up people, they're never really going to get anybody that's really out because the Knicks tied their hands. They get put all their money into this extracurricular stuff and got and didn't get nothing on their return. So
right.
I think we're stuck with what we got for right now,
mm-hmm.
unless something comes down the pipe that we can't resist. But I really had high hopes for this team. Everybody started off 7-0. They had them in, you know, in the parade and all of that. Now, in real life done hit you in the head, and now people are upset about the Knicks. It is what it is, man. You know what I mean?
Well,
but I would be very disappointed if the Knicks don't at least get home court advantage in the first round. I'd be very disappointed.
They should make that.
But if you understand
the
game,
they're one of
the
top four teams in the East.
But if you understand the basketball game and you understand that once the playoffs set in, the game slows down when playoffs come. You know, it's not running up and down the court all the time.
Right, everything above the rim.
The scores go lower when the playoffs, and that may work for the Knicks. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
We can't keep up with them teams that's running up and down the court.
That's right. Yeah.
You know, that's what we can't do. And hopefully the game slows down in the playoffs, and it's possession type of game, and we have a superstar type player, we'll be in every game.
But let me ask you something, Kay. I got you on the line, my dude. You're a coach the whole nine yards. The IQ. What is up with their basketball IQ, my dude? Like, they'll make a play, and you'll be like, wonder, what were you thinking about? Where'd that come from?
Pressure bust pipes, bro.
Yeah, okay. There you go. It is in a nutshell, pressure bust pipes.
You could be the smartest man in the world, and under the rest situation, it may not go the way you planned it when you came in that spot. You know?
No doubt. No doubt. We got like 3 minutes. We got like 3 minutes left. I'm gonna give everybody like a little 30 seconds to say what they got to say, Coach. You know, let's shout us out because we get ready to get out of here for a week, man. Anything you want to add before we get out of here?
No. Only thing about the Knicks is got to spread the minutes around. The old guys
spread
playing
too
many minutes.
That's what it is.
We burned Jason Kidd out already.
Already, yeah. He's done. It's a wrap for him already. Kidd, you got anything to say before we get out of here?
Yeah.
Go ahead. Hello?
I'm sorry, I got knocked off the ear.
You back on the air. We get ready to get out of here. You got anything you want to say before we get out of here?
It was an interesting conversation. I'm just hoping my Lakers keys to make the eight seed. You know, they don't make the eight seed, and you know.
It's over, baby.
I'm waiting for March Madness to come. Excuse me. I said, let it be a chance that we may make the eight seed. I have that.
Yeah,
like,
and it may be a chance that Lance Armstrong got keeps his money.
Like I said, I'm talking about the Lakers right now.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
All right, shout out to the Lakers.
I'm ready for March Madness. That's all I'm ready for, March Madness to come.
That's what it is. Mike, you still there?
Yes, sir.
You got anything to say before we get out of here? Make it quick, my dude.
I just want to say, I am a, how do you say it, hard body karate New York fan. The Knicks, the Giants, the Yankees, the Rangers, and even in soccer, they got
the Red Bulls. You like the Red Bulls?
I'm with you.
Shout out to the Red Bulls. All right.
And he don't know nothing about those teams.
Angie, you still with us?
I'm still here.
You got anything to say before we get out of here?
Well, you know, it is what it is when it comes to the sport. It's great entertainment to me.
Thank you very much.
And I'm a Boston fan.
8 o'clock next Tuesday, please. Set your alarm. shout out to Sadat X. Shout out to Coach K. Bourne. Yo, thank you, K.
Don't worry, I'll be back next week. I enjoyed it.
You're more than welcome, family. Shout out to my man Mike. Shout out to Kia. Shout out to Miss Lavina for holding down the bell in the crowd. Shout out to Big Rich for holding down the whole situation. You know what it is. GQ Palace Sports, the mayor's in the building. Next Tuesday night, vibe out with us. Shout out to everybody, man. And rest in peace to Alamo. And we out of here. Peace.
Alamo, peace.
Every league, every team, every game, every season. 8 to 10, tell a friend. This is where the experts meet to speak on the pros. You want to join the conversation, gotta pick up the phone. 646-200-3838. This is the verbal version of the replay. The recap, the game 7, the draft, preseason, the rematch. Players and coaches, the man keeps you posted. Whether you're rooting for the home or away. Dirt, turf, hardwood, grass, a click. We keep the conversation going and we cover it all. So when it goes down, you know the score. But when it comes to sports talk, this ain't no small talk. This is the big leagues, the ball is in your court. The best place for debate and point of view. After further review, you know what to do.